OK。そしたら今日は黙示21章をまず日本語で話します。それから英語で学びます。We're going to read Revelation chapter 21. I'll first say it in Japanese and then I'll translate it into English. はい。では今日は黙示21章学んでますけど、今日この箇所を3つに分けたいと思います。で、今週、来週、再来週で3つに分けて学びたいと思います。じゃあ今日読む箇所は、イエス様は全てを新しくするということを考えたいと思います。はい。では、最初は5節をもう一回読みましょうか。5節。すると、御座に座っておられる方が言われた。見よ、私は全てを新しくする。また言われた。書き記せ。これらの言葉は信ずべきものである。であり、真実である。はい。じゃあ、イエス様は全てを新しくすると書いています。それはすごい私たちに対して本当にいいことです。なぜなら、もう今までは、人生では随分失敗したことあります。 大体何でも始まるものは失敗で終わる。 人との関係もそうです。最初は完全に信頼するけど、そのうちに自分も過ちをする、相手も過ちをする。で、やがて本当にもう信頼できるか疑うようになります。何でもそうです。私たちの約束は、最初はもう絶対にやると思っても、途中でできなかったとか、この世の中では、何一つもうまくいかない気がする。そういう時がたくさんありますけど、イエス様は永遠に全てを新しくする。もう一回私たちにチャンスを与えてくださる。しかし、じゃあ、イエス様は全てを新しくするということを考えると、本当にそうでしょうか？なぜなら、この中に前のことはそのままあるんじゃないですか。全てを新しくすると言っていますけど、でも、天と地はまだある。光がまだある。地球はまだある。国々がまだある。いろんなことが、今のあるものはそのままあります。から、じゃあ、全てを新しくするという意味は何の意味でしょう？例えば、新しい家を建てるとき。じゃあ、新築の家紹介します。で、入ってみると、これは確かに新築だけど、でも前の家も、キッチンもありました。前の家にも、トイレがありました。全てが新しくなると言っても、全く変わらないものも多い。じゃあ、どうなったでしょう？全てが新しい材料でできているし、その計画が前よりうまくいっているかもしれないけど、でも基本は同じです。点もそうです。私たちの、一般的な考え方では、天国行ったらもう完全に違うという概念が多いですけど、でも、もしかしたらそうではないかもしれない。完全に違うということよりも、全てが完全になるということを私たちは理解しなければなりません。例えば、iPhone 新しい版がしょっちゅう出てくるけど、でも、私みたいな人から見ると何も変わってない。 前と同じじゃないですか。よくしてる人は、その機能は、新しい機能とかは分かっているかもしれないけど、基本は変わらない。 基本は多分 iPhone 4から iPhone 12の私が使うの使い方では全く変わってないと思います。電話がある、ミュージックを聞けるし、メールとかインターネットは見れる、それぐらいですから一緒 ですけど、もちろんそれが前よりデザインがうまくいっているとか機能がうまくいっている、天国は大体そういう感じで新しくなります。例をいくつか考えてみましょう。ここでは天と地がまだある。多くの人は考えると、天国に具体的な物質的な地球とかはないように考えているけど、そうではない。あります。ね。天と地が過ぎ去ったけど、新しい天と新しい地があるということ。だから私たちは物質的な体を持っているわけです。そのイエス様が蘇った時の体はまだ物質的な体。トマスにイエス様は手を指して触ってください。私は肉と骨がある ここに穴が開いている、その前と同じ体だよということです。だから永遠に私たちは体のないようなものじゃなくて、もっと完全な体を持っている、ようになります。持つようになります。で、この地球の説明だけど、22章にも王座の前に命の川、水の川が流れている。だから、川が流れる、木がある、果物がなる。だから物質的に私たちは食べるでしょう。イエス様も蘇った後でパンとか魚とか食べたでしょう。蜂蜜とか食べたでしょう。だから食べることができる。からそんなにね、一般的な文化の考え方と違って、私たちは本当に惑星みたいな惑星に暮らすでしょう、永遠に。次は海がなくなる。海がもうない。それが変わります。だから新しい地には海がないということ。後でそれは何でかをちょっと考えてみましょう。でも、これを読んで、面白いなと思ったのは、国々がまだある。で、国々がまだある？じゃあ、日本人というものは天国にもある？そうでしょうか。でも、書いてます。国々が、そこにいる王様たちはそこにいると書いてます。24節見ると、24節、諸国の民が都の光によって歩み、地の王たちはその栄光を携えて都に来る。今の諸国の選ばれた人たち、警戒された人たち、救われた人たちという解釈はもちろんありますけど、でも永遠の文脈で別にそんな言わなくてもよかった 人々はとか、でも諸国と書いています。その時に諸国の民がそこにいる、そこで暮らす、そこで活躍する、歩む。だから国々がまだあるということ。その上にエルサレム、その首都エルサレムはまだある。まだ道がある、壁、城壁がある、門がある。なんで城壁があるでしょう それもまたその第3の考え、学び会でちょっと考えたいと思いますけど、でも新しいと言っても全然新しくならないものもいっぱいありますので、イエス様は確かに全てを新しくするけど、その全てを新しくすることは もう完全に私たちはもう想像できないような形ではないでしょう。それは完全になるということでしょう。まあ想像できない面もいっぱいあると思いますけど、でもまあ地球、天、地、川、惑星、その町、国々、人々、光、そういうものはあるので、まあこれは新しいデザイン、新しい材料にできている。私たちの体もそういうふうに新しくなるでしょう。ですけど、まあ全てが変わるわけではない。で、まあその後でなんでそれが大事かを今一緒に探りましょう。はい、通訳します。 Okay, so let's begin with part one here. So, in Revelation 21, it describes the eternal city and the eternal state of the world. And we're going to divide this into three parts. We'll do one today, one next week, and one the following week. Today, I'd like to consider verse 5. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." I want to think about what that means. Jesus says, "I am making all things new." Really? Everything's going to be new? Okay. But just because everything's going to be new doesn't mean everything's going to be different. And that's an important thing that we need to understand. And perhaps for most people, they've never really thought about it in that way. For example, if I say, "Hey, do you want to see my new house? We just built this new house. Come and have a look. Welcome to my new house. Here's the kitchen, here's the toilet, here's the bathroom, here's the living room." And someone might say, "Is this new? Your old house had a kitchen and a toilet and a living room and a bathroom. What's new about this?" Actually, if you look around, there's almost nothing in this new house that wasn't in your old house. So what's new about it? Just that the materials are new? Well, the materials are new. And the design is better. And the mistakes of the past have been considered and won't be made again. Well, that's the idea that we mean when we say, I have a new house. But actually, basically, nothing much has changed, right? You go into a new house, it's still got wiring, it's still got lights and the switches, and the company that made all of those parts are probably still the same company, and some of the parts might be exactly the same as they were in the old house. And yet you still say it's new. Heaven will be like that in a sense. Let's think about some of these things. It says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea." But then he describes an earth. So there is a heaven and there is an earth. It's not like we're going to live forever in some mystical existence that doesn't have a physical earth. There will be an earth. It'll be a planet of some description. It may not orbit the sun because there's no need for the sun, but it doesn't say there's no sun. It says there's no need for the sun. So we don't know actually what it's going to be like, but it does say there will be heavens and there will be an earth. So if you look at the next chapter, it says there will be rivers and trees and fruit, obviously grass and hills and things like that as well. So in a sense, heaven is not just going to be this mystical place where you're floating on the clouds. Heaven is a place probably not so much different in essence to what God created in the Garden of Eden. Except in Eden, I guess he had everything focused in a small point, whereas now everything has become perfect. Every year or so, they bring out a new iPhone. It has new functions and all kinds of new stuff. But if you're like me, when I look at an iPhone 7 or an iPhone 9 or an iPhone whatever, I don't really think it's different. I think it's pretty much the same. You can still make a call, you still send an email, you can still look at the internet, you can even do your banking or something. But you could probably do all that with an iPhone 5. Actually, for people like me, there's not much difference at all. And so it will be in heaven. When he says, "I'm making all things new," he's not saying everything's going to be different. He's going to be saying everything is going to be raised to perfection. There'll be no more sea, so that'll be different. But what other things are the same? Well, one interesting thing is it says the nations. Have a look at verse 24. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Really? So there are going to be nations in eternity? That's interesting. I mean, it didn't have to say that, right? Now, you could say, well, he means the nations that are in the world today. Okay, maybe he does. But still, the things that he mentions in Revelation 21 and 22 are in a very special two chapters of the Bible which only talk about eternal things. They didn't have to mention nations and kings. They could have just said the people. But it didn't. It says the nations. So we could think about the question, are there Japanese people? Are there Koreans in heaven? Are there Australians in heaven? It's hard to imagine that there would be, right? And yet it says the nations. What about Jerusalem, the city? There's still a city called Jerusalem. And that city of Jerusalem exists today, not in Israel, but above Israel, probably. It's in the heavens. And in the book of Hebrews, he talks about the Jerusalem above, which is about to come down. It exists. It is a real city, and it's made of real materials. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he had a real body. And he said to Thomas, touch me, you know, see what I'm made of. And he ate food in front of them to prove that he had a real body. So in eternity, we will eat. Otherwise, why would there be fruit, right? We're going to eat. We're going to enjoy physical things. And so when the Bible talks about eternity, we have to realize that it's not just going to be something so different that we couldn't imagine it. For sure, there'll be many aspects of heaven that are so good that we can't imagine what they are. And the Bible says that, right? It's not entered into the eye of man and come into our thought what's going to be in eternity. But not everything will be totally different. A lot of things will be the same. And I want to think about why this is important. Hai, じゃあ、二つ目。新しいけど、新しいではないという概念を考えたいと思います。まあ、どういうことかというと、いくつかの、まあ、例を考えてみましょう。一つは、第一、ヨハネ。第一、ヨハネを考えてみましょう。はい。第一ヨハネの2章で7節はこう書いています。愛する者たち、私はあなた方に新しい命令を書いているのではありません。むしろこれはあなた方が初めから持っていた古い命令です。その古い命令とはあなた方にすでに聞いている御言葉のことです。しかし私は新しい命令としてあなた方に書き送ります。これはキリストにおいて真理であり、あなた方にとっても真理です。なぜなら闇が消え去り、誠の光がすでに輝いているからです。はい、ちょっと似ていますね。黙示21章、まあ古いものと新しいものけど、実は同じものです。どういうことでしょう。なんでヨハネは私は新しい命令を書いています、でも実は新しいじゃないけど新しいものとしてあなたに書き送っている、どういう意味でしょう。彼は私たちに昔からの命令を与えているでしょうか、もしくは新しい命令を与えているでしょうか。でも両方です。どういうことでしょうか。じゃあそれを理解するためにマタイ7章を見てください。マタイ7章。はい、マタイ7章はイエス様の五六七章の三条の説教の話ですけど、はい、で。ここかな、はい、7章の、12節、はい、また7章12節、 それで何事でも自分にしてもらいたいことは他の人にもそのようにしなさい。これが律法であり預言者です。このマタイ5章6章7章、イエス様はあらゆる律法の側面を述べました。で、その前の方にイエス様は、私はこの律法を Let's go back to it. 17節、私が、5章17節、私が来たのは律法や預言者を廃棄するためだと思ってはなりません。廃棄するためではなく、成就するために来たのです。誠にあなた方に告げます。天地が広び失せない限り、律法の中の一点一角でも決して廃れることはありません。全部が成就されます。だから律法は変わらないですけど、その後でイエス様は、堪忍してはならないと言われたのはあなたは聞いたことあります。しかし私はあなた方に言います。で、新しいことを言います。誰かを見て情欲を抱いていると、それは堪忍。昔は律法の中では、目には目を 歯では歯をということを聞きました。しかし私はあなたに言います。で、それから相手を許すこと、敵を愛すること、誰かが自分のものを取ろうとしたら、じゃあもっとその人に与えること。だからイエス様は、じゃあ律法、古い律法を廃棄しているで、新しい教えを出しているか。でもイエス様は決してそんなことはしないと言っています。じゃあ古いもので新しいものはこういうことです。最初から律法と預言者は、つまりモーセによって与えられた教えと預言者たちが再び述べたもの、それは全部イエス様が今述べている、あなたの隣人を愛しなさい、自分がしてもらいたいことを他の人にもしてあげるということ、イエス様の新しい教えは実は昔からの教え。本当にモーセはそういうために書かれている。そういうことを、モーセの本当の目的はそれです。で、いろいろな詳しいことは、文脈によってそれを当てはめるとか、実現することですけど、でも根本的にモーセが述べたのは、預言者たちが述べたのは、どれだけ裁きとかそういう話をしても、基本は神様の愛、神様の許しを、神様の恵み、神様の福音を述べているわけです。だからヨハネも同じように言いました。私は古い命令をそのまま与えているけど、でも私たちは今より完全な理解があります。イエス様を通してその古い命令を完全にその真理として実行できる、実現できる。古いものは実は変わらないですけど、完全に守ることができる。ペトロとか弟子たちは、人の働きで、我々はもうずっと律法があっても絶対守ることができなかった。だから異邦人にそんな詳しいことを全部従わせるわけではないですけど、イエス様の中で、イエス様を通して、イエス様の忠実の中で、私たちはその律法を守ることができる。それは違い、そのポイントは違う。だから、 今の地位と永遠の地位は、まあ同じようなものですけど、だから今あるものは絶対天国にないわけではない。ただ今あるものは天国では完全に理解することができる、完全に用いることができる、完全になるわけです。そういうこと。まあ例えばじゃあD から始まる悪いものを3つ挙げます。ドラゴン、ディジーズ、またディフェンス、まあ竜とかティラノとか病気ね、ウイルスとか細菌とか、また、まあ人の違い、それは今みんな苦しんでいることでしょう。まあ大変大きな怖い動物は今でも人を殺している。病気は今世界を呪います。人の違いによって今でもあらゆる人種差別とかいろいろな苦しみがあるですけど、神様は最初からそういうものを作りました。神様は竜とか大きなライオンとかタイガーとかそういう、まあ、怖いものを最初に想像しました。でアダムはそれらに名前を付けた。で最初に神様はそれ全ては良いと言いました。ティラノも良い、ウイルスも良い、細菌も良い、物事の違いも良いものですけど、罪のためにそれは逆に悪いものになりました。でもエデンでそのものが良かったまあ前もたくさん何回も話で言ったことありますけど、ウイルスのほとんどは、まあ、良い機能をしています。ウイルスは遺伝の情報をいろんなものを分けているから、私たちの遺伝的な情報が分けられていることによって、もうその人口とか全ての動物、全ての、まあ植物でも生き物でも動物でも全体的に強くなっている、そういう機能があります。しかし悪くなる時にそれは結局私たちに病気させることになります。そういう、まあ時がありますけど、でも自分の中の自分の体の中に私たちの体の中の細胞より菌が随分多い。で私たちの中の菌よりウイルスは随分多いから細胞の数よりもうたくさん何倍何倍何倍もう何桁でもウイルスが多いけど、そのウイルスは全然害を起こしてないから神様はそれを、まあ、最初に作りました。で今でもたくさんのいい機能をしていると言われていますけど、ただ私たちは気づくのは罪のせいで悪くなった方です。ですけど永遠ではその良い機能しか残らないということ。じゃあ罪のために神様が創造したものが悪くなりましたけど、永遠に罪がないのでその良い機能だけが残る。じゃあ良い機能だけが残るのは私たちに対してすごい希望でしょう。で次の区切り目でそれを考えましょう。 Okay, so let's go into part 2. So in the first section we've seen that there were things that change in eternity, but well, many things are not going to change. A lot of it will be the same. How do we understand this? Well, we can understand it by looking at some of the teachings of the gospel. So let's think about, first of all, 1 John. First John chapter 2, in verse 12, he says, in verse 7, "Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness that is passing away, or the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." So it's a kind of similar to eternity, right? The darkness is passing away, the true light is already shining. In eternity, it'll always be light. So all the old things have passed away and the new things have passed away, but actually, I'm not writing to you something that's old, I'm giving you something new. And yet he says, I'm actually giving you the same as what existed from before. What it means is, what existed from before, the old, is not just going to be destroyed. The old is going to be brought to perfection. So he says here, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you. So the old commandment, which we always had but we could never keep, now we're able to keep it in him, and it's lived out in us. The old laws didn't disappear. They're still here. It's just that we have a new way of keeping them, a perfect way of keeping them now in Christ. To understand this a little better, look back to Matthew chapter 5, because Jesus talks about the same thing here. He talks about the old and the new. Matthew chapter 5, he says here, in verse 17, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." So he's not coming to make the law go away. He's coming to make it, to fulfill it. And then he goes on to explain, "You have heard that it was said," for example, in verse 38, "an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." That's the law. "But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but if he slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him, turn to the left as well." What does that mean? We don't keep the law. The law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, a hit for a hit. And now we don't have to do that. Now we're supposed to do this. Now what he's saying is that that's still true, but Jesus brings it to perfection by allowing us to take the second slap ourselves, right? It's still a slap for a slap. It's just that you turn it and take it yourself, and then it's all finished, right? Or it says, "You've heard that it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, anyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to stumble, tear it out." He's not saying you're just not allowed to do this. He's saying it's not just that, it's the entire thing about it. And he gives us a way of dealing with the problem so that the law can be fulfilled. Don't put yourself in a position anymore where these things are going to overpower you. You must learn to overcome them. So basically, this is explained at the end in chapter 7, where he says in verse 12, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." Right? He said, not one jot or tittle of the law and the prophets will pass away until all is fulfilled. What is the law and the prophets? It's basically this, that you do to others what you want them to do to you. In other words, this is what Moses was really saying. This is what the law was all about. The law was actually teaching this from the beginning. It's just that nobody could do it and nobody could understand it. But now that Jesus has come, and he has actually shown us the way to keep it, and through his death and resurrection, he's made us righteous in his sight, he's given us the Holy Spirit, and now he's given us the ability to live in His word and to walk in His ways, He's actually brought that perfection to us. And so this is the new commandment, which is true in Him and in you. Now He gives us the ability to walk in His law and the grace when we fail. So this relates now to eternity. When we look at eternity, it's not just going to be everything is new in the sense of there's nothing there that didn't exist before. It's just that the things that didn't exist before, the things that existed before, the things that exist now, will still be there, but they'll be brought to perfection. They won't be a curse anymore, they'll be a blessing. So think of some examples. First of all, let's think of dragons, disease, and differences. These are three things that make life a curse. Right? Dragons, lions, tigers, sharks, alligators, deadly snakes. I was stung by a bee the other day while I was trying to work outside. These things are a curse, right? They make life hard. They kill sometimes, and they poison us, and whatever, they eat us. They're a curse, and yet God created them in the beginning, in Eden, and He said they were good, right? Disease, viruses and bacteria, these things that now make us sick and kill us, and yet in the beginning God created them and He said they were good. What about differences between people? These are differences between us are the cause of wars, the cause of racial discrimination and slavery and all kinds of hate, and yet God created those differences, obviously, and He said they were good. So in heaven, it's not that there's not going to be dragons, diseases, and differences. There will be. It's just that they'll no longer be a curse. They'll be, in fact, a blessing instead. All right? So the things, for example, in Eden, there were dragons, for sure. But God put them there for a purpose and said, Adam, you've got to overcome them. I want you to challenge these things. Diseases? There are more bacteria in our body than there are cells. Think about that. And most of those bacteria are not making you sick, right? And there are far, far more viruses in everyone's body than there are bacteria. And there are far, far more bacteria than there are cells. That's an infinite amount of viruses that we're all carrying around in our body. And they're not all making us sick and dying. In fact, most of them, we could say they're benign. But of course, God created viruses for a reason. They're all doing something good. They're sharing genetic information and spreading it around within the population so that the whole population becomes stronger through its shared immunity to mutations and things like that. And so we are all benefiting from the good benefits of viruses. It's just that we only notice the bad benefits because they kill us occasionally, right? But usually they don't. And if you think about how many viruses we carry all the time without having any negative effects, we could appreciate the fact that God created them for a good purpose, and they are doing a good purpose. But because of sin, a very small minority of them have gone the other way, and they're the ones that we notice. The differences between us, again, don't need to be curses. They could be blessings. But people in our sinful ways look at the differences and make them into... they use them for hate rather than for love. So now in the next section, I want to apply how this really affects us spiritually. はい、じゃあ最後に今の話はじゃあどのように私たちに影響を与えている、また希望を与えていることを考えたいと思います。じゃあ昔あったことは永遠にはないわけではない、昔あったことはまた永遠にあるですけど、もう呪いではなくて祝福になります。例えばさっき黙示21章を読んだ時に12の門があります。でその12の門の隣に12の天使がある。まあ罪が入ってきたらエデンの園の門の隣に天使は2人 いました。でその天使は燃えている剣を持って入ろうとする人を殺した、まあ殺そうとしてたですけど、永遠ではその門の天使は どうぞどうぞ入ってくださいというような訳をするでしょう。歓迎する。もう殺さない。だから天使はまだありますけど、いますけど、その天使は祝福になります。じゃあ考えてください。前先にまあ、国々は天にあるでしょうか。私は蘇ったら日本人ですか。ウクライナ人ですか。ロシア人ですか。そうかもしれない。そんな嫌だ。そうですか。なんで嫌だ。なぜなら今は私たちは何々だからでと考えます。ね。私は背がちっちゃいから背が高い人より衰えている。そうでしょうか。でも天では背が高い人と背がちっちゃい人がいるかもしれない。なぜなら神様はいろいろなものを違う、まあ、違う形になるように想像した。で、それを良いとしましたでしょう。だから天でも一緒じゃないですか。ただ背が高い人の背が高いから何々ができる栄光があるみたいに、背がちっちゃい人でもちっちゃいからその別の側面、栄光の側面を表すでしょう。例えば、まあ、皮膚の色の違い、それが大きな違いでしょう。今この世では、でその皮膚の色の違い、色の違いはまあ、人がそれを見て憎むことがありますけど、でも今でも考えてください。黒いか体の人たちは、じゃあ今でも太陽でも太陽の中でずっと暮らしても焼かれない。それがまあ、いいことを表しています。逆に白い人たちはすぐに焼かれるですけど、逆にメラニンが少ない人たちは太陽に当たった時にビタミン D を発生することができるけど、メラニンの多い人たちはできないということ。だから両方は良い、両方には今の状態でもいい側面がある。じゃあ天国では私たちの違いは全部良いものとして認められる。この人が絵がうまい、その人が足が速い、その人は音楽がうまいでしょう。私たちはそのいいものを認める。桜がきれいけどそのような桜の、まあ、さくらんぼを食べたら多分酸っぱいでしょう。もしくは全然ならない。だからすべての桜を切り倒した方がいいでしょう。そんなことない。その花を大事にするから。まあ、天ではそういう感じです。だから国々にはいろんな特徴があります。フィリピンとか、フィリピンのいい特徴を考えてみましょう。みんな幸せ。どこ行っても人は踊ったり、笑顔したり、すぐに泣く治る。そんな、なんか怒っているフィリピン人はなかなか見ない。なかなか見ない。けど、逆に、西洋の国々ではもう全然一生笑わない人が多い。日本もそうです。なんででしょう？その国の特徴がある。で、天国では、その特徴は完全になる。でも、他の国々の特徴も完全になる。まあ、真面目な側面、賢い側面、彼の力の側面、いろいろあります。まあ、点では、国々は、神様の栄光の中で、歩む、神様の光の中で歩む。で、私たちは、逆にその違いを大事にする。うん。そういうふうに全てが完全になります。じゃあ今は 海があるけどその時に海がない、まあそれは確かな違い。じゃあなんで海はないでしょう。まあ、海は今国々を分けている機能をしています。まあ日本は日本こそそうです。あの海外は海外海の外でしょう。だからあの海によって日本は他の国々と離れているけど、天では国々はもう離れられない、あの離れているわけではない、あの国々はあのまだあるけど、まあ多分ね、そのあのこういう考えをあの進むと、国々があっても私たちは一緒に暮らして、で互いの特徴をあの、まあ、大事にする。僕はあのシドニーに育った。シドニーではいろんな民族がいます。あります、で若い時に自分の、まあ、町の中にあの暮らしていたけど、でも、まあ、大学生になった時にとか、まあ、高校になった時、高校生の時にあの教会行き始めたら、あの、まあ、メアリー の, あの家の近くの教会に行きました。でその教会にいろんな民族がありました。あの島々の人たちとか、あのアジア系とか中東系とか多かった。で新しい民族に出会った時、すごいいろんな面白いことをいっぱい学びました。あの経験しました。いろんなおいしい料理を食べるようになって、いろんな考え方とかを聞いて、ベトナム人の友達いっぱいできたら、そのベトナムの家の暮らし方を経験した。すごく面白かった本当に。で天国ではそういう感じでしょう。まあ別に離れてないけど、でもその相手の特徴を認めるようになります。それで全てが完全になる。神様はそれぞれの国々を創造しました。神様はその特徴を与えました。永遠ではその特徴は完全になるから、私たちはもうすごく楽しみ、素晴らしい喜びがあるでしょう。その時にあのある国々の料理、ある国々の考え方、ある国々の国のあのまあ踊りとかいろいろあるでしょう。それを楽しむことはもう本当にあの素晴らしいことではないですか。じゃあ言葉も人を分ける、国々を分けるためにたくさん分けられたでしょう。じゃあ天国で私たちはみんな同じ言葉を喋るでしょうかどうでしょう。でも神様は全ての言葉を分けたけど、 でも教会に、じゃあ教会の中で神様は威厳を与えた。教会の人たちはみんな同じ言葉を喋る奇跡とか賜物を与えなかった逆に私たちは他の人の言葉を喋れるようになったという奇跡という賜物を与えたでしょ。だからあのもしかしたら天国では私たちは全ての言葉を理解するようになります。じゃああの多くの冗談とか多くの詩とかの、まあ、美しさは面白さはその言葉遊びとか言葉のまああの詩詩のことので、まあフランス語と英語、時々イギリス人はフランス語をちょっと入れたらなんか賢く話している感じ、あのそういうふうに天国では私たちはもうあらゆる言葉の面白さを混ぜてすごい盛り上がる話ができるでしょう。すごい冗談があるでしょう。すごいあの話ができるでしょう。英語ではあの日本語で一つの言葉であの表せない言葉がいっぱいあります。であの逆に日本語で一つの言葉があるけど英語ではなかなかその言葉説明できないとか、長い文にならないと説明できない概念がある、まあ、懐かしいとか憧れるとか、そういう言葉はなかなか英語で言えない、逆も多いけど、永遠ではもうあらゆる言葉の力を 持って、それは完全になる。はい、そういうふうに全てが新しくなる。言葉が完全になる。私たちの違いを神様は完全のものにするから、それが呪いじゃなくて祝福になる。じゃあ私の性格、自分の性格嫌いな人が多いでしょ。なんで私は全然面白くないとか、なんで私はいつも鬱になるとか、なんで私で、いろいろな人がいろいろな、ADD とか いるでしょ。ね、ADD の人たちは逆に もうすごい雰囲気を盛り上がる機能がある で、その人たちの素晴らしいところを点では完全になる、完全になるでしょう。今では呪いと思われるものは逆に点では素晴らしいものだから、私たちの性格は今はもう何とも言えないんですけど、でも神様はこの世を創造した時にいろいろな違いを入れて私たちを祝福しました。ね、みんな同じクリスマスプレゼントをもらったら面白くないでしょ みんな何が来るかわからないからこそ楽しいでしょ。同じように点では私たちの違い、今の性格とか新しい状況では悪いものじゃなくて素晴らしいものになる。天エデンでは例えばドラゴンとかあったでしょう。で、なんで竜がいたでしょう。なんでティラノとかそういう怖いものがいた、ライオンとかがいたでしょう。天国にそういう動物がいるんだったらどうでしょう。それは多分エデンと同じようにそういうものを私たちはその開花と学んで、その乗り方を学んで、美しさを学んで、その力を見てすごいなと思うために神様は創造した。例えばスポーツもそうです。今サッカー試合があるでしょ、ラグビー試合、怖いでしょ。人が一生懸命やっているから怪我するかもしれない。相手を倒そうとしてるけど、でもそんなもんだから楽しい で、レフェリーはみんなルールを守るために行って、その試合が喧嘩になる必要はない。みんな一生懸命やってもみんな楽しむことができる。で、チャレンジがあったらさらに面白い。そういうふうに天にそういう危ない動物がいても、逆にそれは素晴らしい経験になります。だから最後に、じゃあこの教会という体のいろいろな部分があります。で、教師とかみんな見えるような人がいますけど、でも隠されている人たちもいます。でも事実は全ての人たちは機能してない。本当はみんな自分の奉仕を一生懸命やるんですけど、でもそれはないでしょう、どの教会でも。でも天では全ての人、隠されても公でしていても、でも全ての機能がされる。その人たちは入ったり出たり門がある。その人たちはその光によって歩んでいる。私たちは活躍する。私たちは今天のその経験を実行できます。どうやって？自分の違いをいいものとして認めましょう。子供たちの違いをいいものとして認めましょう。国々の違いをいいものとして感謝しましょう。認めて感謝しましょう。強い人たちの強さを見て感謝しましょう。逆に優しい人の優しさを見て感謝しましょう。認めましょう。賢い人の賢さも認めましょう。また純粋な人たちの純粋な考え方を認めて感謝しましょう。自分 の、なかなか理解できないところがあるかもしれない。それでも喜ぶ、それでも祝福。病がある人たちは神様の力を感謝しましょう。今でも私たちは全ての違い、全てのことを見て、神様の目的を探して、探って、認識して喜びましょう。家族を始めると、子供たちが生まれるとみんな違う、みんな特徴が違う。なかなか言うこと聞けない子もいる。よく言うこと聞く子もいる。なかなか、勉強できない子もいる。すぐ理解する子もいる。もういろいろ。強い子も強くない子も、勇気な子も弱い子も、もういろいろいます。けど、それは全部神様が創造したものですので、私たちはそれを見て、決してイライラしてはならない。逆に喜ぶ。すべてのことは神様の目的を果たしています。今でもそうです。さらに天国ではそうです。ので、イエス様はすべてを新しくするということは、すべてを変えることよりもすべてを完全にするということ。じゃあ、料理とか、誰かの料理食べるときにも、それを考えてみましょう。良いものとして受け入れましょう。はい。では、最後、last point. So, now we come to the application of this. So, we've seen that what was originally there is not necessarily going to be different, but just brought to perfection. And that's the point of what's happening here. So let's think of some examples and how we can apply this to ourselves now. Nations. Every nation has their character, right? Koreans are Koreans. They act like Koreans. Japanese are Japanese. They act like Japanese. Filipinos are Filipinos and they act like Filipinos. Russians are Russians. Each nation has their own particular characteristics. And so often, we don't appreciate the differences. We only see the differences as a negative thing. So people might ask, will I be Japanese in heaven? Will I be Egyptian in heaven? Will I be Australian or, American or French in heaven? And of course, we would say, no, of course not. Well, really? Maybe we will. Maybe we will. Now, I'm not saying we definitely will. I'm saying maybe we will. God created the nations. Now, it says there'll be no more sea. What's the sea for? Well, the sea, one purpose of the sea is to illustrate the unstable nature of unbelief, right? Always up and down, never at peace. That's one aspect of the sea. Another aspect of the sea is the unknown. We can see in the heavens and get some idea. We can look around us and have a good idea. But when we come to the sea, especially in the ancient world, we just didn't know what was down there. But in that day, we will know even as we are known. So there's no more unknown in that sense. We'll continue learning, of course. But one major aspect of the sea is to divide the nations, right? Think of Japan, right? The sea divides Japan from every nation. And so if there's no more sea, it means that the nations will no longer be divided, but that doesn't mean there won't be nations. It says the nations will walk in that light, in his light. I mean, think of Sydney. You've got every nation there. I remember as a kid, in my school, when I was in elementary school, there were Chinese kids and Greeks and Italians and, some of my friends, Tony Stephanakis, Wesley Chong. There were so many different nationalities just in my town. But when I grew up and I became a Christian and I started to go to the church in Penshurst near Mary, then I started to meet Tongans and Fijians, and I'd met Syrians and all kinds of other people, and you started to be invited to their houses, and it was really interesting. I remember going to Vietnamese houses and just thinking, man, these guys all have white tiled floors. You know, no one wants to have carpet. Everyone wants a house with a tiled floor. It was just funny, you know. And their houses smell different. My aunt's Indian, so every time you open the door, you know, the spice aroma just penetrates everything. So there's all these differences, and we could see these as a reason to hate. But on the other hand, for me, when I, from the age of 17, and even until now, I guess from that point, you know, learning about other cultures was just absolutely fascinating, and it was just really fun. It was really interesting to go to the families of other people and see the way they live and see the way they talk to each other and you know, eat with them and the music and things like that. So in heaven, it'll be like that. Our differences will still be there, but instead of being a curse, they're going to be a blessing. They're going to make everything seem so much more interesting. You know, Filipinos, you go to the Philippines, you never see an angry Filipino, very rarely. And you very rarely see a depressed Filipino. Most of the time, they're happy. Most of the time, they're singing, dancing, or even if they're struggling hard, working in a really difficult place, you know, they smile and make jokes all day. That's the Filipino character. Each country has their own character, and each country's character was created by God, just as He created their physical appearance and physical abilities. You know, He also created their personalities, and we have to acknowledge that each country has differences in these areas, but God created them. So in heaven, we will only experience all the blessings of that difference. Just take skin color, for example. We can understand that to have a lot of melanin in your skin means you're protected from ultraviolet rays, whereas people like me, we're not. On the other hand, we can say that people who lack melanin can easily produce vitamin D from exposure to the sun, but people who have a lot of melanin can't. So we can see even now that both of them have good qualities about them physically. And yet, they also, at the same time, there's a curse to it. But in heaven, there's no sun, right? So it doesn't matter if you're black or white. But we'll all enjoy the differences of seeing different kinds of people. Big people have advantages and strengths for being big. Small people have advantages for being small, you know? Think of the people on TV. Some of them, like, you know, remember the Happy Days, the Fonz. You know, everyone loved him, not because he was smart, but because he was just really simple in his way of thinking, and that made him really attractive. And yet other people are really attractive because of their intelligence and, you know, their alertness. They're so quick to think of things. Both of them are good, right? Whether we're quick or whether we're slow, they're both good things. Whether we're strong, whether we're weak, they're both good things. And we can learn now to appreciate everything as being created by God and stop looking at things in a negative way. And this is not like don't be negative kind of a modern idea. Don't neglect God's creation. God created everything different, right? Think of the cherry blossoms, right? They're beautiful all over Japan, probably all over Korea. You know, for so much of the year, they're just trees, but then suddenly they just explode in this beautiful pink that covers the landscape. And yet the fruit of those trees is very small and very sour, and you can't even notice that it's so small. And yet other trees grow very nice cherries, right? But the ones that you see with the big flowers, they don't grow nice cherries. So what are we going to do, chop down every sakura tree? No, of course not, because we can appreciate the flowers, and in others we appreciate the fruit. So it is with us. We can appreciate the differences among the nations and among their characteristics, among our looks, among our abilities, among everything. And we've got to learn to do this. And in heaven, it's going to be so exciting, because imagine, you know, we're going to be with all these different characters, all these different personalities, and appreciate everyone's differences. It's going to be wonderful. You know, like a international food court. Now think about other things. Language. You know, a lot of us struggle with language, of course. But in heaven, what are we all going to speak the same language in heaven? Is that what God did? Did he give the church the ability to all speak the same language? No. He gave us the gift of tongues so that we could speak other languages. He didn't give us the gift that everyone would speak the same language. He did the opposite. He blessed us with the blessing that we could speak other languages. Now, we know that tongues will cease, right, in eternity. But tongues in the sense of if I begin speaking a language, a heavenly language that I don't understand, that's what he's talking about. But in heaven, we're going to understand. So imagine the jokes, imagine the poetry, if you could understand every language. I mean, there's a lot of jokes that only a person who speaks two languages can understand, right? Sometimes we mix, you know, if someone who speaks English and Japanese, we can often make jokes that only someone who spoke those two would understand. And obviously that's true with any combination of languages. There are words in English that you can't just say in Japanese. You'd have to go on and explain it. But in English, there's a perfect word. But there's many words in Japanese that you just can't explain with a simple English word. I'm sure it's the same with Arabic. I'm sure it's the same with Korean. It's just like that. But imagine if we spoke all the languages. Imagine how many poems and how much beauty we could work into the way we speak. Like in England, you know, people quote some French and it makes them sound funny or intelligent or stylish or something. Imagine you could speak every language in the world and everyone could understand you. How much fun that would be. And that's the way it will be in eternity. It's going to be so much fun that there will be so many differences. So God says, I'm going to make all things new. He's not just going to destroy everything and give us all one language. We're all going to speak Hebrew. No. I mean, we might, I don't know, but what he's going to do is he's going to take what he created and said it was good and bless it so that it comes to perfection. That includes our character. And many people are upset with their character. They don't like the way they are. But ultimately, we're going to appreciate the way that we are. We're going to appreciate everything. Even now, if we're weak, there are things only weak people can understand. There are things only people who have suffered can appreciate. There are things only people who struggle can realize. And in everything there is a blessing, even now for us, if we understand that. We can live that eternity now, because just like John said, it's true in him, he resurrected, and in you who are saved and walking with Jesus. And we have the new creation within us. The old commandment is new in him and in you. So, of course, it will come to perfection in heaven, but it's already true today. Think of a sports game, right? We play, you know, rugby or soccer or some, you know, challenging sport. Why do we do it? I mean, people could get hurt. People are going to fall over. People are going to kick and hit and things like that. Why do we do it? Because it's fun. And because it's a challenge. Everybody knows at the beginning of the game that the more contact there is, the funner it's going to be, the more fun it's going to be. And the referee is there to make sure everyone does the right thing and enjoys the game. Just because a sport involves pushing and hitting and that kind of thing doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. It means it's a fun thing. What about a boxing match? Is that an evil thing? Not necessarily. As long as the rules are kept and the referee runs it in the right way, the competitors know what they're getting into, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. Now, I mean, the attitude of many people might be just violence, but, you know, for a soccer game, it doesn't have to be violent. And that the harder and faster it is and whatever, the more we enjoy it. So there's a lot of aspects of that God has put things in this world, like lions and tigers and big waves and things like that, that are scary, and yet when we learn to overcome them, they become amazing. And so it is in this world. There are a lot of things that we don't understand, but let's just learn to appreciate God's purpose in everything. God created this world. He said it was good. It's true, sin has changed a lot, and there are some things that we can't see the good of. But we can always look at the differences that God has created and appreciate God's purpose in them. When you have children, a lot of your children will be different. Some of them will have the ability to understand things quick, others won't. Some will be good at sports, others won't. Some will be funny, others won't. Some will be kind, others won't. Everyone will have certain things that you can look and say, God has given this, and that's beautiful. And that's what we can do now. We can live in eternity in that way now. So Jesus is going to make all things new. Doesn't mean he's going to totally change them. It just means he'll bring them to perfection. So if you ever come to my house and try my cooking, I hope you can appreciate that point. Okay, let's pray. 祈りましょう。天のお父様、感謝します。本当に私たちの違いをあなたは全部想像しました。本当にあなたの天国を楽しみにしています。どうか神様、この人生の中であなたの想像を完全に認めて、良いものとして良いものを理解して感謝できるように私たちの心を開けてください。またもっと多くの人が天国に行けるように彼らの心を開けてください。私たちの命を捧げてその人を救えるために私たちを用いてください。本当にあなたの計画を感謝します。イエス様の御名によって祈ります。アメン。